Welcome to Manager Tools. How to Action Engagement Survey Results, Chapter 3, The Questions, Part 5. The questions this cast answers are, how should I respond to my engagement survey results? What should I do with my scores on an engagement survey? And how can I improve my engagement survey results? If you'd like answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Well, Manager Tools has already begun calls in our new executive speaker series. In our first call, back in the middle of September, we heard from Mark Horstman, co-founder of Manager Tools, as he discussed the leader's final responsibility. And on our next call, on October the 11th, we'll hear from Bill Vavrick of Applied Research Associates as he talks through an innovation culture. If these topics interest you, join us at a Manager Tools Executive Speaker Series soon. You can find it online at manager-tools.com.
Okay, Mark, so here we go. We're on part five of this fairly long engagement survey that you've looked at, and we're going through all the questions and how to think about them and what kind of questions to ask of your directs as you're going through the survey results. Yeah. So let's get back into it. We've talked about question strategy. Folks, I hope you started at the beginning. If not, go back and listen to it. I think you'll find it very valuable. But we talked about kind of questions and strategy. We went through, start going through the questions, the main drivers. We talked about questions regarding organization strategy and culture. And today we're going to start talking about the questions regarding the category of communication. And so the first question, folks, this is the question that people were asked. Yeah. If asked, I could clearly explain the vision for the organization.
Yeah. So, crazy town. We'd be surprised. I mean, I think you would agree with this, Mike. We'd be surprised if very many managers, let alone individual contributors in large organizations, scored well on this question. I mean, or even knew what the vision was. Strategy, vision, values, all that kind of stuff. Maybe they're on the corporate website, but I don't know anybody who studies their own corporate website. Senior folks may say, well, we send emails and there's stuff in the tagline and so on, but we're all buried under too much email, of course. And this is really a question about communications.
Which most organizations just generally don't do well at, right?
Yeah, they don't. They don't. And, you know, there's a general trend in society today of centralization of power, of influence. Federal governments from states, states from local, true all across the world, not just in the U.S., partially due to TV, partially due to social media, various reasons. And yet, in something like this, nobody at senior levels would say, yeah, we need to do a better job of getting that stuff out there. They'll hold individual managers accountable. Why don't your people know this? Why aren't you talking about it? But I would guess 1%. Or less of managers actually make the time to connect things. So since we think most manager scores would be low, there's two likely outcomes. One is that the company sees it as low, but it's not that low and nobody really cares anyway. And so it might be a relatively low area across the organization. And that means you won't have to do anything specific because the organization will tell you what they want done. Now, that might be a little pie in the sky. I rarely see organizations say, okay, we're doing X, other than hiring trainers, which would be dumb for this one. The other thing is, it may be a little low, and the company decides to do nothing. So
yeah,
it'll be fine. I would be very surprised if, except in certain areas, your scores were notably lower and somebody called you out for it. It would just really surprise you.
It's just so bad that that's an unlikely outcome. Yeah.
Yeah. Now look, if you did score low in this area, we recommend you make a note, remind everybody in your team of the vision of the firm once per quarter. You know, you could put up posters and those generally don't get noticed. And look, if you really want to make a difference, I'm sorry to tell you managers, but there's a horseman's law of organizational communication for a reason. Say something 7 times and half your people will tell you they heard it once. By the way, just since every once in a while people ask me about that, what that means is, half your people will tell you they heard it once, and none of the other people, the other half, will not say they ever heard it. After you said it seven times, the only way you know that people really get something you're trying to waterfall or cascade down to them, or even on your own team, you have a particular mantra or a particular vision or something for your team or a metric you want everybody to talk about. You know, it's kind of like when we do huddles. Some companies say team, some companies say go Tigers, some teams say win, whatever. You might have something like that. And the only way you'll know it's taking root is when people make fun of it. Like, yeah, yeah, boss always says that, blah, 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 whatever it is. So you're going to have to beat them to death with it. If you think you could say something once and this is our new thing, they're going to laugh at you.
No, if they heard it, they'd laugh at you. But since they didn't
hear it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Communication downward in organization is hard. In fact, Peter Drucker says it can't be done, which is really fascinating. I've read that paragraph and I think it's in Management of Chapter 23. It's just like, wow, that's really significant. And the reason for that is that every level in the organization from the top down introduces friction, which we call organizational sandpaper. This is a simple ask and capture for later review and potentially reporting. You could ask, what do you think the company vision is? And see. And by the way, don't get snarky or don't get ticked off back when somebody goes, make money or have shareholders win. You know, those kind of things, just let those go. Okay. You're just gathering data. If it's kind of like a brainstorm, just write down what they tell you and let it go. Now, if the same guy or gal is always complaining, I could say it more saucily, but I won't. You could make a note of that. And you could say afterwards, hey, when you make seven or eight comments that are intentionally snarky or rude and doesn't come across very professionally, can you work on that? Right? There's a difference between somebody saying, I don't know, and saying, CEO gets paid a lot. You know, and you could tell by the tone of the voice that they just intend to throw darts. But that's what I would do. What do you think the company vision is?
Okay, next one. I have a good understanding of the org's goals and objectives.
Yeah, this one you might get a little bit higher score, all things being equal, because vision, mission, values, that kind of stuff is generally pie in the sky for most, particularly frontline managers. Maybe an executive with some, you know, a VP with some senior directors reporting to her, you know, you might be exposed to it, but companies are bad at this as well. And this is a little more concrete. And generally, if Mike's the CEO and I'm the VP of operations, I understand what his goals and objectives are because they definitely influence mine and they're measurable. Goals and objectives are measurable. And so they're talked about more.
Right. Yeah, it depends how people, you know, how people interpret the word organization, and many will interpret it as the immediate organization they're part of, right? Which makes it a little bit more concrete.
And what's funny is I know stories of when it comes to surveys, not engagement surveys off the top of my head, but it may have been several years ago, where a major firm switched survey providers. And their nomenclature for the survey provider was different enough that they used org to mean the manager rather than org, the company. And they got really weird results.
Like, yeah.
Well, okay.
That's what
you
makes
guys
it
haven't
so
defined
hard,
your internal right? vocabulary. I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this question is interesting because, you know, the company goals, right? And unlikely to have made their way down to individual manager levels. And you or your chain of command's goals for your part of the company. And there are plenty of organizations who don't have goals or objectives at the top or don't communicate them clearly enough other than through executive pay packages, which are generally private. And even if you have them, if you don't communicate them, it's kind of the same thing. Because the whole idea is we want people at all levels of the organization to make intelligent decisions, which you would assume would include intelligence would include considering factors about what my work is supporting in order to decide whether to do X or Y. A good example is I'm always surprised that people, when I ask, how is your job different during growth than during contraction and economic contraction? And they say, well, it's no different. No, that, you know, and this is not just a ding on them. It's just a ding on the management communication and managers and senior managers and directors and VPs and so on saying, okay, right? if we're growing and the number is to grow the top line by 15%, if that's the thing we're supposed to do, then there are choices one might make individually if one had the authority regarding spending money that one would make differently if it was in a contraction. If the goal is to be profitable in a contraction, Race Don't Chase, one of my all-time favorite casts, you know, you would say, no, I'm not gonna spend this. I'm gonna find something else to do, or I'm gonna shelve this project or whatever. So goals and objectives matter, but they're not communicated terribly well. Anyway, we encourage you to listen to our guidance, getting your goals from your boss. If you don't have clear goals from your boss, folks, and it's not unusual, don't beat yourself up about it. Managers, senior managers, directors, and so on do a less than good job on this. If you don't have good goals from your boss, it's really hard to set your own. On the other hand, it's entirely possible your boss won't give you any. Definitely true. They're not doing their job if they don't, but you can't make them do their job. And at that point, it becomes your job to come up with your own goals, as the guidance in How to Get Your Goals from Your Boss explains, irrespective of whether your boss does what she's supposed to do or not. And look, we obviously, in light of what we just said, don't just come up with your goals in your office and say, these are them, right? We urge you to communicate them and hold your directs accountable for them. That would certainly drive a good score on this question, even though the question may be about the entire company and your people will actually say, oh yeah, I'm very clear about what my goals are for this organization. So that's a nice way to indemnify yourself, even if they have no clue what the division or company's quarterly or semi-annual goals are. What I would recommend you ask in terms of ask and capture is, what do you know of the company's goals, our division's goals, and our team's goals? And I wouldn't have any problem with somebody saying, well, let me refer to my phone. I got it here somewhere. No, I'd be okay with that.
Okay. Next one. I understand how my work supports the organization's goals and objectives.
Yeah. I actually like this question, but I like it more as a management scientist than as somebody who gives a hoot about engagement. I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg, engagement or results?
Yeah. Well, this one, as a manager, this is the one that, like, clearly I'm responsible for, right? This is,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, your role as their manager and their knowledge of goals and objectives, right? If you got good scores on the previous questions here and you did poorly on this one, that's a mark against you specifically, right? It is our job. It is our job for wherever we are in the organization to connect our people's work to the organization's goals. And this is one of the things that happens or doesn't happen in many managers' self-development as they become a manager, senior manager, director, or senior director, whatever they call those things in your organization. And woe unto you, companies, particularly in Silicon Valley, who call managers directors. You might as well just call everybody VP, like be like a bank. That'd be great. What happens in people's development is they get used to managing at the lower levels where they're not exposed to things because the organizational friction grinds down the goals and mission and vision and values down to almost a nub. So there's nothing communicable in it. That's a really interesting word, communicable. Sounds like we're talking about diseases there. But what happens is you get up a couple of levels and you don't ever change your behavior. You don't ever realize that managers are communicated through and not communicated to. And we actually have senior people, you know, vice presidents, senior directors that aren't actually connecting their people's work to the organization. And my experience actually is that the percentage of managers, if you count every layer of the organization, whether he or she is a VP or a frontline supervisor, as a manager, because they have people reporting to them, the amount of communication that happens downward at the top is less than at the bottom. Now, I know you could do the math and say that doesn't work, but that's been my experience. Or maybe I could say there's more effort at the lower levels. I am routinely disappointed, saddened, actually, at the number of directors who have started to get the belief that they have a shot at being a VP or, you know, being able to retire with several million dollars or having a really impressive pay package, or at some point toward the end of their career, having a contract, right? Which lawyers get involved with because there's millions in restricted stock available to them. And they are completely focused on their boss. That's all they care about. They don't communicate. And their response to me when I ask them about, tell me about your people. Yeah, I got good people. I just leave them alone. Okay, that's fine. I actually know your people. They're not actually that good and they need help. And you're trying to cover for the fact that all you want is the promotion. That's all you care about.
Right.
You've got a house that's too big and you need more money to pay for it, or you want a better car or whatever. And your people will suffer and die because of you. And you probably won't get ahead. Some people are really good at sucking up, and so they will get ahead. And then we wonder why small people are running large organizations.
Well, yeah,
that's the reason why. Yeah. So if you scored low on, I understand how my work supports the org's goals and objective, and you're not doing weekly staff meetings, it's time to start. Staff meetings are the time to review progress on projects and goals publicly. And don't just have somebody read a report. Have something shown on the screen, projected on a whiteboard, clean the whiteboard off first, use it as a projector screen, and show people green, amber, red for all the projects you're working on and ask questions about it. That's what happens at the top. The reason meetings at the top on projects, on status, look sanitized is because either they're lying, which is really dangerous at the top, or they've actually gotten ready because they know some CEO, COO, deputy, VP, SVP, or EVP is going to say, why aren't we green on this? I approved that change 2 weeks ago. And then some low-level person has to say, well, I'm sorry, we had this thing with this other thing. And, you know, you watch somebody's career go up in smoke. So you can do that at your level. And when you're talking about projects and goals, you can say, and we're doing this for this reason, which supports this initiative, which is leading toward our improvement in this industrial sector that the company said was a big deal a year ago. And if you're wondering how to run a staff meeting, it's okay. You're not alone. There's a podcast called How to Run a Staff Meeting. And just in case you're wondering, since we've said one-on-ones 500 times during this cast already, and we will still further, as there'll be many more casts in this series, you cannot pick one or the other, one-on-ones or staff meetings. You can't, okay? You can't say, oh, I already know my people, I do a staff meeting. Hogwash. You do not build relationships that lead to trust in a staff meeting. The people who only have staff meetings say, I manage my team by this. Well, that's an inherently wrong statement because you cannot manage your team. You can only manage individuals. We just call them a team because it's more convenient than listing all their names every time we talk about them. You have to have both. You have to have one-on-ones and you have to have staff meeting. The question to ask if you want to gather information because your score wasn't all that great was, what are we doing or not doing to connect your work to the org's goals and objectives? Pretty simple.
Did you know that you can license our training content and deliver it internally to your organization? Yeah, you heard that right. Any of our core training. Effective manager, effective communicator, and effective hiring manager can be trained by you to others in the organization. We'll work with you to help you understand how to best deliver the materials, and we'll help you learn what it is the content is truly all about. If you're interested, send Maggie an email. Her email address is maggie@manager-tools.com to figure out whether or not this is right for you.
Okay. I have access to the information I need to do my job well.
This is one of the dumbest questions ever invented. And by the way, folks, that's not in the show notes. I was so frustrated with this. There are so many different factors involved in this, whether the information exists, whether they have access, whether they don't have access, or they do have access, but they don't know where it is. It's just crazy. So rather than going on a rant, I just put our guidance on this is to ask your team, if you scored low, what information do you need that you don't have? I would be very careful about the word access. It's dumb.
Yeah. Okay. I am consulted where appropriate when major changes are made which affect me.
Yeah.
Now, this doesn't, this, putting where appropriate generally doesn't solve a problem.
And folks, look, we want you to get two things out of this series of guidance. One is how to address your engagement survey. We want you to be effective. We want you to be the best manager in your company in terms of responses. And the second thing is we want you to understand the underlying whys and hows of engagement surveys. And this question is crazy. The problem with it is that lots of employees that think even small things are major changes, and their definition of where appropriate is pretty broad. You're going to create some young people that say, well, I didn't get in, I didn't get input on this or this or this. I didn't get input on the changing in the color in the break room. And there are very few managers who would be willing to look at that person and says, yeah, you're not supposed to have input on that. It came from the architect's HR, and they asked me briefly, and I didn't have any problem with the color because me spending any time thinking about the color of the break room. And then, of course, the young direct interjections. Well, you know, there are colors that people prefer and so on. And you should look at them with very dead eyes and say, no, I didn't know that. Because, you know, that the color of the break room will make a difference. Actually, the only thing that matters about the break room is you clean up after yourself, please. I'm always amazed, speaking to break rooms, that people say, oh, you know, something's terribly wrong at my company. There are less snacks. No, there's not something terribly wrong. Your company is cutting costs because we're in the middle of a down market.
So you'd like to save people's jobs.
Yeah. And by the way, a good solution to that is don't give free food in the break room. But that's a whole nother thing. Next thing you know, if you start getting free food pretty soon, they're going to allow people to bring their pet birds to the office, and then it's messy. Yeah, so ask and capture. What major changes have been made where we didn't ask for your input? Again, remember, capture what they say, even if you disagree, or they think something's major and it really isn't. You don't have to forward everything they say in your reporting as long as you're ethical about it. You can't just get rid of all the negatives, obviously. But there may be a couple of things that just cross the line and you say, well, I'm not going to throw that person. I don't want anybody to read that about this person who generally is a good direct of mine, but he or she said a couple of things that were just unacceptable, and I'll privately counsel them and say, I didn't include those comments because if I was asked aloud, you know, if I was asked who said that, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say I don't remember because believe me, it was memorable. Now, by the way, this brings up an interesting point. Engagement surveys have at their core a belief that it is all anonymous. And that's actually a good thing. However, when you start responding individually, when the company says, okay, I want to know what you're going to do, or your boss wants to know what you're going to do about this, this, and this, where you scored a little bit low, and you provide maybe some responses because it supports your idea about what you're going to do, be very careful. You may be, in quoting someone precisely, inadvertently revealing who that person is because they have a reputation.
Okay, next. Employees' opinions and suggestions are given significant consideration in the organization's decision-making.
Yeah, look, I'm sorry, folks. I hate to keep pointing out problems with questions. But in this case, it may be that many employees, which includes managers, I include managers and employees, were allowed to provide input to decisions, but maybe not every single employee got to weigh in. Or input was asked for and considered and rejected, and there are many people who don't understand that they were actually given significant consideration, but they recommended X and the company did Y. And people then say, well, I said X and they didn't do X. Well, that doesn't mean that they weren't given significant consideration. It's just that your view of what's happening is slightly myopic. No offense. And you have 5 years of experience, and the people who made the decision have 25 years of experience. Look, there's a reason companies are organized hierarchically, and we managers are not just allowed to, but expected to represent our employees in org decision-making processes. So it's entirely possible that you said, I know why people will want to do X. And then your boss decides to do Y. You have to learn to murder the unchosen alternative and professionally subordinate yourself, which is a podcast, professional subordination. And your people may not know that you shared your concerns or your recommendations with your boss. So ask the simple question, what decisions are being made without your inputs being considered?
Communication here keeps me up to date with what I need to know.
Yeah, so this gets closer to our roles as managers, right? Because we're talking about what our directs would say in answer to this question about communication. Certainly, we're all deluged with information. We're supposed to make our best estimates on what to share, when to share it, how to share it. The best way to do this, again, is in your weekly staff meeting. It's incredible the difference people attach to things that say verbally, that are said verbally to them versus things that come in email. Everyone should know that based on the droning in your head when you're going through your email inbox, unless something is urgent, which, by the way, is always annoying. Emails with those little red exclamation points. Dude, really urgent emails? Anyway, and you should have an agenda item in your weekly staff meeting where you're sharing what you're learning in the meetings you're attending. In fact, why wouldn't you, in light of today's instant on messaging apps, walk out of a meeting with your boss where something was discussed and it wasn't considered confidential, and you put out a note and say, hey, by the way, I'm leaving my meeting with my boss and they just decided X. So let's spend 2 or 3 minutes on that in our next staff meeting, right? Hell, you may be able to have enough input on the Slack thread or on the message, the iMessage or whatever, that you could solve the problem in your team in the course of 2 or 3 days and have a very benign discussion about what you've all already agreed to over the course of messaging. So again, I'll just say managers are not communicated to, they're communicated through. So you could ask, what could we have done better to keep you up to date? What form do you want those communications to take?
I feel I can trust what this organization tells me.
Well, if you've been doing Manager Tools one-on-ones, that's the best way to build trust with your directs. I wish there was a better way. We would be happy to teach it. We would throw one-on-ones away and say, you should do this. Implant an electrode in your directs' brains and everything will be fine.
Drugs work.
Yeah, drugs. Yeah. So, look, obviously, one-on-ones assume that you're not using them simply as window dressing and you're not a reliable or an honest boss. You know, as we said before, if you're a jerk and you're unethical, we can't help you. Please go listen to another podcast. We don't care about our listen or download numbers. But if you're not doing MTO3s and you score poorly on your team says, I don't think I can trust what this org tells me, it's definitely time to start doing one-on-ones. We have extensive free guidance on how to do them. Remember something, you cannot surge trust. You cannot say, ooh, you know what? 2 weeks from now, we are going to have a major evolution. We're going to have a major drill. And I need a lot of trust happening. So let's work on trust for 2 weeks and then we'll be fine. It will take time to build it where it needs to be. So it may be a little uncomfortable, but you might as well go directly at it. Ask the question, what's keeping you from trusting me or the organization more?
Okay, next one. There is good communication between different departments.
Yeah, so this is an easy question to get a low score on because interdepartmental communications get paid a lot of lip service in a lot of organizations. But when it comes down to it, most managers feel they're in competition with other departments and act selfishly way, way, way too often. You know, it's empire building, it's fiefdoms, it's silos, whatever you want to call it. Look, the way to build communication interdepartmentally is with relationships. That's the answer. And there are people in the world who say, I don't like communicating. Okay, fine. Build relationships. Well, that takes communication. You know what? You're never gonna go anywhere in the world. You know, so stay an individual contributor. Don't take responsibility for managing people. So build the relationships with the teams that you think your team needs to communicate with. Task individual members of your team with creating their own relationships. When you say to somebody, when they say, well, they haven't gotten back to us yet, and you say, who do you know over there? And they say, well, nobody. I say, but we talk to these people all the time. Who do you know over there? Well, I don't. I think I've told the story several times on air of somebody at USAA, my client from years ago. We trained all their managers and one gigantic building. And this particular banker at one end of the building was having trouble with some actuarial stuff. And I said, well, yeah, I know some people over there. How do you not know anybody, an actuary? Well, you know, it's a long walk. I said, okay, how about we have lunch together today? He says, great. So I go over to his office. I bring little portable lunches. I say, come on, let's go for a walk. And we walk to the other end of the building. And I introduced him to 3 or 4 people. He says, you know, I've gotten emails from you. I said, yeah, these are the people. You should know them. You should bring them lunch every once in a while. And he was like, did we really have to spend lunch doing this? And I looked at him. I said, you keep asking me for how you can get ahead. This is how you get ahead. So, question you can ask. What departments do we have good or bad communications with? Let's list them and give us a score, plus or minus or whatever. And how can we improve those that aren't where we want them to be? And by the way, guys, and be clear with them. By the way, guys, if we build relationships, we're going to ask for favors and they're going to ask for favors from us. And as a general rule, I'm one of those people, I like giving favors rather than asking for them. So when other people ask us for favors, don't turn them down. Say yes, and then come to me and I'll try to help you do it.
Yeah. Great relationships are rarely just transactional, right?
Oh, God. Yeah, definitely.
I get to find out the reasons and rationale behind any key changes.
Yeah, so since you're the mouthpiece of the company here, that's a terrible way to say it, but I hope everybody understands. I say that with love. This is another question where you share responsibility with your leaders. If you haven't been communicating, if they haven't been communicating to you, you're going to be painted with the brush that your people don't know reasons and rationale because you couldn't tell them because you weren't told, right? On the other hand, if you haven't been communicating with your team and your leaders have been keeping you in the loop, and I think that's probably a good minority of firms, that's a different problem, right? And again, managers are not communicated to, they are communicated through. And I think I mentioned this before, but just again, you do not consider communication to have occurred when you get an email and you forward to your team, your little cute distro to your team, and you put your message at the top and it says FYI.
Yeah, that's
you are just a salary sink for us and we want to get rid of you as fast as we possibly can.
Yeah. Provide a little context, right?
Yeah, something. Hey, well, look, I think we said on our podcast, managers are not communicated to. I think what our phrase was, this is what this means for us. And that means you have to read it. Yep, you do.
Yeah.
You don't have to read it at lunch. You don't have to read it first thing in the morning. You can wait to read that one at the end of the day because it's probably not urgent. Yeah. So again, staff meeting every week, talk about stuff you're hearing from above. Here are the three meetings I go to. Here's what I learned. I want to keep you folks posted on what's going on. And almost no one does this. Almost no one. And it's not that hard. You think it's cool to see what's happening at your boss's level and your peers' level, but then you don't share it with your people. Why wouldn't it be cool for them? It'd be extra cool because it's even a layer higher than where you, it feels like a layer higher than the way it feels to you because they're a layer down. And then after you send that note that says, this is what this email means for us, then mention it again in your staff meeting. Your ask and capture question could be, what could we do to help you learn why things are being done?
Okay, that's a great place to stop. We just got through all the questions relative to this category. So let's stop here and we'll continue on next time.
Good.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.